we do probably too much time on it, but it is just so riveting and so great. And I'm glad you mentioned it at the beginning of the show, because it shows that I'm not the only one that thought it was just absolutely, it's better than like a true crime podcast. It's better than any like,
oh yeah,
like
criminal
teaser that
criminals
you have
got
on like
nothing
a,
on this.
It,
yeah.
Oh, it's like back in like the prime of American Idol when, you know, Ryan Seacrest would be like, and the winner is, we'll find out in a minute. It's better than that. I mean, it's just so great. I cannot wait till we do way too much time on this. He's also trending on Twitter now. This was this morning, and now it's like, I feel like it's just gaining steam now.
It's funny because it's like a first take just continues to deliver in the video clip department. Like sometimes I think people wonder why the hosts of that show make a lot of money, and neither of them were hosting today, actually. But why the host gets so much money, why do people watch the show? Like this video, because we won't do the video. We have the audio. We'll play it. Maybe next segment, maybe next hour, whatever. We're going to play it at some point.
The audio is all you need.
The audio is all you need. And then just, you need to just familiarize yourself with the wind horse pointing up with both fingers as he just goes, why would the Chaz do that? Why would they
why
do
would
that?
The Chaz do
with
that?
Both fingers up. Why? And just why the hushed tone, like he's like kind of reading a ghost story at a campfire. It's like really, it seems like I ruined it. Nah, there's like 900 more layers. I'm so excited
not
about
a chance.
It.
It's
my favorite video of the summer, I think. And well, summer's only been 10 days. It's like my favorite video of the year, maybe.
Let me tell you a story about a team that has a new general manager and a new coach. Why would they make trades of starters? Why would they go and make this? Why would it's priceless. You can also continue your Kevin Durant conspiracy theory that way if you want to. Like, would Kevin Durant consider staying with the Nets after all this?
Right.
What if they didn't trade him? But it is an interesting thought to think about.
I could just flip it with the Jazz and Royce O'Neal. I could be like, the Nets made a trade. I'm guessing many of you didn't even see it. It was the one tweet came out right before Kevin Durant. I'm guessing you guys didn't even see it. The Jazz traded Royce O'Neal to the Nets. It's a very strange trade. Very strange trade. And just like, just his eyes are closed. Like this pains him to just say it. It's very, just, very, oh, so it's so strange. So freaking strange. just like, so it's weird. Like, okay, man. Like they're going to tank. Like we kind of already know that. Okay. Anyway, the only other Durant point I wanted to make real quick, and we can talk about other free agency stuff too, Brogdon or wherever you want to go. The other Durant thing, just to follow up on my point about, okay, like, is there any chance they keep him? If they keep him, and it's him and Kyrie and Simmons and Curry and, you know, whatever, Joe Harris, whatever else they want to roll out here, Royce O'Neal now, whatever they want to do, what should that team be priced? I just think that's interesting. You know, if there are books that start to move the Nets to like 40, 50, like the longer this goes on and it just exaggerates, I mean, maybe just buy some Nets because, like, who cares? And you don't even know what they're going to get back, by the way. Maybe they hit the lottery on what they get back. We don't even know what teams are in the mix. Half the league's in the mix. So it's just kind of interesting. If the price gets way long, then it's kind of interesting. It's like a little bit interesting because you could also stay.
Let me ask you this then.
Sure.
What would be the price point that you would say, all right, unless you already have, that you would be in on?
I haven't bet the Nets yet. Haven't bet them yet.
Okay. What would be the point? What would be the number where you say that's the threshold where now I'm going to actually do it? Not considering you're in.
If it was the Eastern Conference and it was 15, I'd probably start thinking about it. 20?
Okay.
15 to 20 in the East. Title, I need more than that. I think title, you've seen 20 and 30 already, but 20 and 30 is just like the Mavs. Like the Mavs are 22. The Mavs could win. Like the Mavs are really good.
Yeah.
That's not, the Nets are just in, they're still in like contender territory. They're not in, you know, Hawks, Knicks, you know, I guess those two teams aren't the same. Who would be a team like the Hawks? Pelicans? Like that kind of like the team that's going to make the playoffs, but we don't think they're going to win right now.
Timberwolves.
Like that.
I'd
kind
put
of
the
team.
Timberwolves
great.
There,
that's
young,
a great example.
Yeah.
Great example. Yeah. Perfect team. Absolutely. So like the Nets have just moved. They've just, those cars are starting to pass them, but not all the cars have passed them yet. So it's like, yeah, you gotta, I think you wait a little bit. And your hope in following this market is that this takes a while, because I don't think there's going to be a lack of momentum here. Like I think the markets will keep moving a little bit more, and I would love for it to like could we get like another team in the mix and watch people bet them too? Because it's like people are betting the Heat and the Suns. Like, well, he's only going to pick one. he's not going to pick the Heat and the Suns. And the Lakers can only be so valuable with Kyrie Irving instead of Russell Westbrook. So like just all of them cratering and the Nets going to who knows where. Just like, I'm not saying this is the greatest deal you'll ever get, but in the NBA futures market, it might be the only interesting thing, right? Like the Suns cratered. That ship has sailed. If you want to bet Phoenix, too bad. So maybe the only interesting thing is Brooklyn on the comeback when, and this is what I wanted to do out of break. Just the only other example I would give, and it's not that these are exactly the same, but just like think on it a little bit. We just had the NBA draft last week, Thursday. Obviously a lot of fuss and hubbub in the gambling markets and landscape over the number one pick and everything that happened and why it happened. And part of the timeline of what happened there is that like a prominent NBA reporter reported something and it caused the markets to go haywire and make Jabari Smith like minus 10 million in a bunch of places. And because I'm sure the thought of the book was, well, this person is never wrong. This must be the truth. This person is never wrong, even though there was definitely still a chance that he was wrong. But just like where he was there, the books are just going to like, it was a clearly an overreaction, right, to what happened. Okay, Kevin Durant has requested a trade. That gets reported. He has requested a trade. But like, I see the same thing we saw last week happen, right? Like Nets, oh, well, just like make him up to a million to one. Like, who cares? Like, it's like the trade's already happened, right? But he hasn't gotten traded yet. Right? Hasn't happened yet. We don't even really know We don't even know what the trade packages are. We don't even think the Nets are interested in the ones that are being featured. Apparently they don't want Ayton and they want Devin Booker, and that's literally impossible. So like, and that's the number one trade package that's out there. So I just like almost a lesson from the NBA draft is like, yeah, usually when Woj tweets, he's right. But like when the markets move so prematurely and so sharply without something actually having happened, just consider the possibility of like, well, how crazy would it be if it didn't happen? Like, how crazy would it be if like the price just kept going up basically for no reason yet? Like until we really know that there's like a marriage between them and a trade partner, then kind of like nothing should move, basically. This is so, all of the betting or all of the lowering of price is so speculative. None of it is like based on information. It's all speculative. So like, if it's all speculative, then it can be wrong because nothing has happened yet. So just like more using this as an example to like train your brain to think about things a certain way. And like, maybe this will be an example of that. The number one pick was an example of that. Like we'll get more examples of it, obviously, forever. And just like being able to identify situations like this and be like, huh, like maybe if the price gets really crazy, maybe I just bet Brooklyn because he hasn't actually been traded yet. I mean, just like a way to approach it. And I think the draft, even though not an apples to apples situation, the draft is information based, but just like the market's really, really strongly overreacted to a tweet because it was from a prominent reporter when actually nothing had happened. There was no confirmation. Jabari Smith hadn't been told he was the number one pick. That wasn't the reporting. It was just Woj said, it looks like it's going to be him. So just, you know, consider the possibility in all those situations that the information is wrong because nothing has actually happened yet.
I kind of look at this a little bit like, you know, sometimes you look at it, we especially do this in the NFL. If you're betting on a game and you kind of think of like the game script, right? This is going to happen. So then I feel this way about this or whatever. They're going to run the ball a lot. Too tough defenses, whatever, you go down the list. I'd take the under and whatever the case is. Like we try to work out game scripts sometimes. This is almost that same idea where there's a level of game scripting that you're doing here. Well, okay. If you think that the Lakers have value betting on them winning the title, because then you look at the reports that are out there and say, well, okay, they're going to be really aggressive. LeBron James is going to be involved, we know, and push forward and try to work behind the scenes, and they can trade Russell Westbrook's expiring contract and Anthony Davis, and they've got other first-round picks, and they could bring in another team, and they can get Durant and Kyrie Irving. So then that's kind of what you have to do. You've got to find three or four layers of justification for a majority of these teams if it involves Kevin Durant changing their title odds. I mean, when you see the Suns as the favorite, they're already up there as one of the favorites to win the title anyway. They're one of the favorites. They are the favorite to land him at plus 175. But then you kind of go down the list and say, okay, what if I'm looking for a little value? What if I'm looking for a team? We talked about this yesterday, right? The Raptors coming out of nowhere and landing Kawhi Leonard. The Celtics coming out of nowhere and trading for Kyrie Irving. The Pelicans at 6-1. It just at least makes you think. These odds have gone up from yesterday. Remember, we started talking about the Pelicans as, well, they've got some young players. That was one of your fake trade calls that you made to me. And I didn't want to get rid of Zion.
Fake trade machine, big part of the show yesterday.
I honestly wouldn't mind bringing that back again. I thought that was good. Why Social hasn't clipped all those and put them? Social hasn't put those out. I don't know why, because that was some of the best work we've ever had together when we did role-playing. But sure, I guess we'll just go with the normal stuff, guys. How about we put some of those cool clips out there? We scripted everything. No, but it's you look at all of the draft picks they have. They got Lakers picks. They've got their own picks. You've got young talent. You've got an aggressive general manager there. Now, they just signed Zion Williamson to his big extension. Good luck with that, because he's going to play about half the games the rest of the way, but they had no choice to do it. It may be a Brandon Ingram's involved. Like, whatever the case is, there's potential there for, you know, a team to kind of swoop in and say, this is our window. We have a lot of young talent. We're stout. We're now trending upward. When are we ever going to get an opportunity to get somebody like Kevin Durant with 4 years left on his deal and go ahead and make this trade? So I wouldn't be surprised if it leans more like, I understand he wants to go to the Suns, but like you said earlier, so what? If they're not giving the package and they can't trade Devin Booker now, they legally cannot trade Devin Booker for a year because he just signed that extension. So who's going to be involved with this? Miami's losing assets because they've already done a bunch of sign and trades. I don't rule out a team like the Grizzlies or the Pelicans, and the Grizzlies are 10-1. They have young – the Bulls are 14-1, and they've apparently been aggressive in calling and trying to talk to the Nets about getting Kevin Durant on top of that. It feels to me like the more likely scenario here is either stays with the Nets because they just say, screw it, we're not getting what we want, and we'll do what Daryl Morey did in Philadelphia, or if you have that mindset of, okay, it's going to be one of these teams out of nowhere, let me look at the assets, and then you go, well, the Grizzlies are 15-1 to win the title. The Pelicans are 40-1 to win the title. If they were to make these trades, maybe you even have the mindset to go that direction on the futures market when it comes to it. There's just so many moving parts. It's really hard to nail down exactly, I think, where you maybe would want to go would be a smart bet at this point. But that's kind of the way you have to think with all of this right now.
Yeah, and there's two like fundamental questions that are really difficult to answer. One of them I feel like we're gaining more clarity on, right? Which is, what do the Nets want to do? Like, do they want to bottom out, or do they want to like acquire pieces that mean they can stay relevant? And it's clearly the latter right now. Some of that is like the amount that they don't have a lot of draft picks coming up because of the Harden trade, some of the other moves that they've made. They don't have a lot of draft capital. They also just traded a pick for Royce O'Neal. So like they're not going to build through the draft. The idea is like, and they're probably not going to lure free agents a ton after this would be my guess, because it seems like they're a dumpster fire, but basically as a franchise, that's the perception you get from the outside when you want when these two players talk about leaving. So like, all right, what's your only choice? It's to build through this trade. Like that's the only choice. And they're a super smart front office. Like there are plenty of front offices that are not great. There used to be plenty of front offices that are morons. There are fewer and fewer of them, but there's still a few, but like these guys are smart. These guys have made a ton of really intelligent moves. Even if you don't think they should have got Ben Simmons, even if you don't think like Harden for Simmons made sense, or some of the other moves didn't make sense, whatever. It's incredibly smart front office. Like, if the idea is they're only gonna, this actually makes the betting the Nets thing at a certain threshold, like some long shot threshold, actually a better idea than even before. Because if you know that their only get back is stars, then you can make this bet more comfortably because you know the Nets are fielding a playoff team next year. You know that that's true. Because if it's Simmons and any star, that team's a playoff team. Like they are. So you're at least getting, you're not dead the second that the trade is made in a lot of situations, right? Where it's the like Clippers, Paul George, 9 pick swaps thing, where you're just like, well, they can't make the playoffs anymore. That's just not going to happen. That's not what this is. So now I'm kind of like on this a little bit where I just go, all right, do I need to lower my threshold for when to bet the Nets to win the East? Because I just think it like can be valuable. It's valuable when Durant comes back, whatever percentage you want to put on that. Is it valuable if we really think Brooklyn's married to it has to be like a Devin Booker Bam type player? And we won't make the trade if it's not that. Like they won't be pressured. They won't be leveraged. If we really think that's true, then like when the Nets start to get boosted up a lot, that is valuable. Because like they're like, what should their true price be if it's Simmons plus star plus X role players? Like that's a playoff team. What should a playoff team be priced at in the Eastern Conference? So just it does get a little interesting if we think we know their motivation. Now, the other question is, what's Durant's motivation? I don't have the slightest idea what he's thinking. Yep. Like, I mean, chase rings, be on your own team, both. Like, what? It can't be both, but, like, what? Where's his head at, right? Nobody knows. So, like, we know he likes Miami and Phoenix. Okay, like, those two teams, aside from being good, have basically nothing in common. One has a terrible owner, one has a forward-thinking owner. Like, one has a history of success, one has no history of success. Like, it's just, like, they have nothing in common. But, like, one has, to be fair, I guess they're both their players are aging, but Phoenix's best players aging much more rapidly than Miami's. So, like, they don't have, like it's just, we don't know what he's thinking, but I think we have a good idea what the Nets are thinking, actually. And that's the only, what the Nets are thinking is what makes this interesting, is what makes following the Nets price interesting, because they're so committed, it seems like, to being very relevant next year. Like, that's what makes it interesting.
And something to consider, too, if you're looking to get stars back, the trades will take a lot longer than we're going to bottom out. We just want a bunch of young players and picks. It's a lot harder to move other stars than anything else. There is a new favorite to win the NBA title, and it's a team that has nothing to do with Kevin Durant. We'll have that team next. You better, you bet, on BetQL.